Wow. Well, Sunday morning, is it? Late Saturday night? It's All In Perspective. Welcome in, New York sports fans. My name is Danielle McCartan. Good to be back with you. We'll be talking all things New York sports right up till count 'em, 5 a.m. here in New York City and beyond. And thanks for tuning in. We got Jack Carty and I live right here in Lower Manhattan. As you know, the phone number to get aboard, 888-808-1019. And call me up. Be part of the conversation. Got to talk about going out to San Francisco, Super Bowl stuff. There's plenty of that throughout the show. We could talk some Mets, some Yankees, some spring training stuff, some expectations moving forward. But real quick, I wanted to address the fact that the NBA has a really big problem with its All-Star weekend. And if you want to talk about that, we could. But I was just before, a couple hours ago, I was just listening to the intros. I was like cooking dinner and I was listening to the intros of the contestants in the dunk competition. And I'm like, who are these guys? Like, you know, like, so I looked up the first two of them. One guy had a 3.2 points per game, shot like 37% from the field. The second guy had like 4-point-something points per game, shot like 42% from the field. And I'm like, these no-namers are just such a far cry from like the heyday of the dunk competition. I mean, it was you couldn't miss it back in the day. Like, and I think of like Vince Carter. Like, that sticks out in my mind. I'm 37. Vince Carter is the epitome of what I can remember of the dunk competition. I mean, this is just a far cry from that. And I know how the Knicks and the Nets were all over Saturday's coverage. What, Vince Carter, Carmelo Anthony, that shooting competition with old and new Knicks. Like I don't care. I couldn't get into it. I didn't even like care to like make sure I was in front of the TV to watch it. Because overall, I mean, I guess besides Brunson and Carl Anthony Towns, I mean, like, the NBA players don't care either. I'm not interested. And neither are NBA fans, really, because all weekend long so far, the crowd shots that I have seen, you know, not from the TV angle, like from people that are actually there in the arena, the crowds at these events, just, they've been terribly, embarrassingly small for this league. So I just think there's a lot to be desired. I think the NBA All-Star, you know, weekend, week, whatever you want to call it, it is the worst in professional sports. And as many times as they want to try to tweak it, and there's no substitute for having your stars on display. You could do this competition, that competition, shoot it by standing on your head, but unless LeBron James is doing it, and unless the brightest, youngest, brightest stars in your league are doing it, you know, Cooper Flagg, like, it doesn't need to be legendary, I guess, you know, LeBron James. But even get these young guys involved. These guys that make a difference in the league. Needle movers on teams. I'm not seeing any of them. And it's like, not just this year, it's been the past couple years, and Adam Silver's got to figure out a way to fix it. That and the draft lottery. So we can talk basketball if you like. But while I'm not interested in that at all, whatsoever, NBA All-Star Weekend, I do want to talk about what I am interested in, and that is who is going to quarterback the New York Jets next season. Who will it be? Because there's been discussion over the past, you know, couple about which veteran quarterback will be under center for the Jets this upcoming season. And if Derek Carr didn't say anything about it, we wouldn't be talking about it. But Derek Carr set it completely into motion. He does a podcast with his brother, I guess, allegedly. And from like 3 days ago or something like that, they were talking about the Jets. And as you know, Derek Carr has been out of the league. Looks like he wants to make a comeback. We'll play the clip in a second, but he was praising Aaron Glenn, up, down, left, right, sideways, which I don't get, as you know. I don't understand that. And it looks like Derek Carr is angling for return back to the NFL. You've got Derek Carr and another candidate, Kirk Cousins. But first, let's hear from Derek Carr in, I guess it's a podcast with his brother. Go ahead.
I love Aaron Glenn.
Aaron Glenn's a good friend. Great golfer, good friend.
Okay. Love Aaron Glenn.
Yeah.
Okay.
Love.
Talk to him whenever it's viable. All right. Okay. I love Aaron Glenn. Okay.
It might be viable soon.
Okay.
Green sweatshirt.
You're wearing green?
Yeah.
Mine was for Christmas tree.
Yeah, me too.
All right. Listen, I love him, but I also love Jet fans. Here's why.
Okay. I can't believe you're saying
I threw
this.
I checked
Low
cover zero
fans.
Little deal. I throw this game winner.
Yeah.
Henry Ruggs. Okay. Jet fans, because we helped them get a worse draft pick, donated to Valley Children's Hospital.
Oh, that's cool.
They're like, Derek, I got so many tweets. Thank you so much.
No, that's cool.
And Valley Children's even was like telling me, we're getting so many New Jersey and New York calls right now
to donate. That's pretty awesome.
So, Jet fans,
well done there.
I love you.
I'll give you that.
Thank you for helping the kids.
Well, that's good. That's all well and good. But how he's kissing Aaron Glenn's butt on this podcast, and it's called Homegrown with David and Derek Carr. Kissing Aaron Glenn's butt, angling for a comeback to the NFL. Immediately, I was like, no way. Derek Carr is abominable in games at or under 40 degrees. And it's well documented. So if I am picking between choice A, Derek Carr, and choice B, Kirk Cousins, for sure, in my mind, it was Cousins. And that wasn't until I looked a little deeper. And Cousins is just as bad at the NFL level in cold weather games. So they're even there. That's a wash. Because it's in this situation, it's what have you done for me lately? I wasn't looking at their, career numbers and all that. It's what have you done for me lately? What have you done? What did you do in the last season and you were active in the NFL? And let me tell you, I compared the stats from Carr's most recent season in the NFL to Cousins. The numbers aren't even close. Derek Carr blows Kirk Cousins out of the water pretty much everywhere. But I'll summarize it by citing the nice, neat little number called quarterback rating. And that formula to get to that number calculates essentially everything that a quarterback himself has control over, direct control over. Carr's quarterback rating in his season with the Saints was 16.2 points higher than that of Cousins with the Falcons. And look, I respect the fact that both men have a chip on their shoulders, that they still want to prove that they have what it takes to make it in this league, and I love that. Because both of them are not good in the cold. And if you're making me pick between the two of them, I'm going with Derek Carr. And not to mention, Carr is also 3 years younger than Cousins. And then I heard Mike Tannenbaum. Mike Tannenbaum, was it yesterday, saying the Jets would be a good fit for Kirk Cousins. And it scares the hell out of me. Because Mike Tannenbaum's mouth has a straight shot into Woody Johnson's brain. And with all due respect, Mr. Tannenbaum, I think you need to sit this one out. You were on the committee that hired the worst head coach in Jets history, Aaron Glenn, and you helped the Jets into this terrible situation they find themselves in. You're a part of the problem. So take this guy's mic away in this Jets quarterback discussion. Look, I love Kirk Cousins. He, his wife, his kids, they stole the show in that Netflix quarterback series. I've talked to his wife at the Super Bowl. They are great, down-to-earth people. But he is not the best free agent quarterback option for this team. For Tannenbaum to suggest otherwise is just complete ineptitude. And I'm sorry, dude. But I guess at least they aren't talking about wasting a premium draft pick on trying to develop a project rookie quarterback. Because Aaron Glenn certainly can't do that. I mean, he couldn't even improve the play of a guy who has been in this league for some time. And we all watched it last year, game in and game out. Justin Fields seemed to get worse every game. So the fact that drafting a rookie quarterback does not seem like it's on the table was very comforting to me, I must say. Because we know Glenn cannot do it. And I looked at this too. I'm like, okay, has Frank Reich, the new Jets offensive coordinator slash soon-to-be interim head coach, has Frank Reich ever developed a rookie quarterback throughout his career? I mean, he was one at the NFL level, which to me is an irreplaceable and immeasurably important experience. So has Frank Reich ever developed a quarterback at the NFL level? Okay, well, as the Indianapolis Colts quarterback coach, then to wide receiver coach after one season, Reich was working with future Hall of Famer Peyton Manning in his 12th season. That's far from developing a rookie quarterback. Which, oh, by the way, who is the second ranked quarterback in this draft? Open to interpretation, ambiguous, isn't it? Okay. Then, as the Chargers quarterback coach and offensive coordinator, Philip Rivers was already in his 8th and 9th seasons, respectively, which is far from developing a rookie quarterback for Frank Reich. This is no fault of his own. This is just the cards he was dealt. And then as the Super Bowl winning Eagles offensive coordinator, he did have second year Wentz, played 13 games. And then Foles, in his 6th season, the rest of the way through the championship game and all that. So just because Frank Reich hasn't developed a rookie quarterback throughout his career, it doesn't mean that he can't, right? Well, for this Jets team in this particular situation, I really don't want to find out. And that is an experiment that I do not want to conduct in this 2026 season. So, who will it be? Kirk Cousins or Derek Carr paired with Frank Reich to pull this franchise out of oblivion? To end, it's got the longest playoff drought in professional sports. It's been 15 solid seasons since the Jets have seen a January game that's meaningful. And between the two, for the record, I'm picking Carr. But I'm not running this team. And, well, you know, we could debate on the phone lines here, 888-808-1019. We could debate the choice between those two quarterbacks all night if you'd like. But before we do that, there's just one more thing. A doomsday scenario. And you heard it here first. I hate to be the bearer of bad news. There is, I believe, an option C in this equation, outside of Cousins and Carr. And I hope you're sitting down, and please don't drive off the road. The option at quarterback that I think the Jets will choose, and I would not, but I'm saying the option that they will pick is option C, Justin Fields. Yep. On top of it all, their line of thinking will be this. I could see the press conference already. They're going to say, look, we got a new coordinator in here. He excels at getting the best and working with veteran quarterbacks and getting the best out of them. So we decided we are going to run it back with Justin Fields. That is how the press conference is going to go. And please, please do not lose sight of the fact that Aaron Glenn chose Justin Fields to be this team's quarterback. He chose him, which again shows me he cannot properly evaluate a quarterback. So that's also why I'm glad the Jets seem to be out of the draft one category. Why Justin Fields, you ask? Well, what a great question. Here's why. The poverty major market franchise that Woody Johnson runs is concerned, of course, about the almighty dollar. And guess what? As of right now today, Justin Fields is still rostered on this team. He carries a $23 million cap hit. And in fact, He draws the highest cap hit by far on the Jets at 7.58%. And at the time, you know I said Darren Mooji overpaid for a glorified running back. Now here we are. And the thing is, you can't trade him because he's got absolutely no value. Like, less than zero value. Negative value he has. And you can't cut him either. You can't release him. Why? Or I guess why not? Well, because he carries a $22 million dead cap hit. Like, Darren Mooji, what were you thinking? So it breaks down like this. Either the Jets pay Justin Fields $22 million against the cap to just disappear, or you pay Justin Fields $23 million against the cap to hopefully contribute to this team under Frank Reich. And I'm telling you right now, the Jets are going to keep him. Justin Fields will be QB1. Mark my words. And on that day, I will lead the march onto one Jets drive for all of us. Unfortunately for Jets fans, I am not running the team. Woody is. And therefore, Justin Fields is QB1 for a full season of Glenn. And I am sure that is going to be his line of thinking. Of course, it's not mine. And I'm sorry. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to get aboard. We go to South Hempstead. George is the leadoff caller of the night. What's up, George?
I have another option for you.
All right.
How about if they trade with San Francisco and get Mac Jones?
Well, first, San Francisco said Mac Jones is going nowhere. And who are they going to trade for Mac Jones?
Second round draft pick?
I don't know if I would do it. Mac Jones is not fantastic, A. And the Jets are going to need that draft pick because they have a lot of holes on this team.
They have a lot of draft capital this year.
They do.
Yeah. So.
But I wouldn't use it on Mac Jones.
He's the answer for a couple years at least.
Nah, I don't think so.
He did good. He did well this year.
He had, I'm looking for his quarterback rating, at 97.4. I mean, he is 5% better completion percentage than Justin Fields. I mean, that's in his career. I'm looking at career numbers here. He has about 47, quick math here, yards per game more than Justin Fields on passing. But he can't rush the ball. He's a statue in the backfield. I'm not doing it. I'm not giving up draft capital for Mac Jones. I can't do it.
They talked about not bringing Brock Purdy back, if you remember.
Well,
because Jones was doing so well.
Yeah, okay. And then they also said they have no plans to trade him. Zero.
Okay.
None.
Well, that just drives his price up.
I don't think so. I don't think so. I mean, look, you're going to waste draft capital on Mac Jones when you have holes all over this team. The secondary and the tertiary levels of this defense, this offensive line, the Jets, they need another wide receiver, most importantly, to complement Garrett Wilson so he doesn't get double teamed every game. Where do you find that? In the second round.
Free agency.
Free agency. They're paying Justin Fields $22 million, whether they keep him or not.
Don't they have like $100 million to spend this year?
Look, Mac Jones is not the answer. If that's what we're going with this, Mac Jones is not the answer.
All right, I have a joke for you. How about Russell Wilson?
Oh, my God. I don't know what's worse. I really don't. It's almost like I'm hoping for Justin Fields so that they're terrible again and Aaron Glenn is bye-bye Aaron Glenn and then the problems are solved. I mean, I just don't know. I mean, there's so much uncertainty with this team. Russell Wilson, you know, let's ride. No on him too. I don't know.
I was kidding about Russell Wilson.
I know.
But
it's a sorry situation. And thanks for the call there, George. It's a sorry situation that the Jets have found themselves in. And it all goes back to the fact that, look, Justin Fields is a rostered quarterback on this team. $22 million to say bye-bye to him? or $23 million to keep him. That is the path the Jets are going to go. Forget Cousins. Forget Carr. It's going to be Fields. And I wouldn't use draft capital because guess what? If the Jets end up in a situation this time next year where they're in a position where they could strike to go ahead and I mean, if Grandpa Manning doesn't step in again, go ahead and get Arch Manning. They're going to need that draft capital. They're going to need all the draft capital they can get if they're within striking distance, which I'm sure that they will be.